Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, by USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If you want to advertise with us, you can send us questions on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook as well at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the Bulls finally won.
They righted the ship, at least for an evening. A 90-85 win over the likewise middle-of-the-pack Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference.
Middle-of-the-pack is putting it generously.
Well, I mean, they're all kind of in the middle-of-the-pack because the middle-of-the-pack is so massively large. The Bulls improving to 15-16, the Pacers dropping to 15-17, further illustrating how discombobulated that middle of the East is. But the Bulls got it done on this night on the strength of Dwayne Wade, 21 points, Nico Mirotic, 20 points. Jimmy Butler played quality defense on Paul George, held him to 14 points, and the Bulls got the job done in the fourth quarter. An ugly basketball game. They're up two going in the fourth quarter. They did score 27 points in the fourth quarter. I believe had been the NBA's worst fourth quarter offense, and I know they were the second worst scoring margin team in the fourth quarter entering Monday night. But the Bulls got the job done. Nico made big shots. Dwayne Wade made big shots.
You know who's the one team that was worse at fourth quarter scoring than them?
The
Indiana Pacers.
Oh, really? Okay. Because the Phoenix Suns were the worst scoring margin team.
The Pacers.
But that would make sense why this game was ugly for long stretches.
Both of these teams basically were trying to out-incompetent each other when it came to the fourth quarter offense. And a couple of times, obviously, that step back that Nico hit that was a three and was changed to a two, and then won a couple possessions before that Wade hit. The Bulls, there were some just awful offensive sets that they were running that just got bailed out by these crazy shots at the end of the shot clock.
Yeah, I thought at least the ball was in, like, the right people's hands, though. So, Dwayne Wade hit, I believe, a turnaround kind of shot in the corner with about 220, 230 left to give him a four-point lead there. And Nico's, let you reference, was the big one. They were up one under 30 seconds left, and he got the ball in the left wing, the left corner, and he did tried to go to the hoop, and that's something that Nico's been doing more of here since he was benched. He's played five games, has scored in double figures in all five games since then, and during that stretch he's been going to the hoop a little bit more, putting the ball on the floor. He tried to do that in this case, and he was defended very well, so he took a little step back jumper to the left and drained it in what was probably maybe his biggest shot of the season that I can remember, one of the bigger shots probably in his Bulls career in its entirety, if you think about it. And he was pumping his chest, kind of beating his chest, pumping his fist, I should say. And he was emotional, and you could kind of tell, didn't feel like this kind of meant something to Nico to be counted on by his teammates, to hear his name thrown around the airwaves and the newsprint that he's not been consistent, got benched two games, and then to come back with this effort.
Well, I think this is just kind of, Nico needed this to see kind of how bad it could be, because he's a guy that, you know, we talked about this back when the benching happened, but he didn't play in those two games against the Bucks. Those were the first DNP coach's decisions that he had in his career. He just kind of had never thought before that, you know, he could just actually just get benched and not play because the coach decided he wasn't playing well. He kind of figured, even when he was up and down in previous years, he was such a part of their offense that he was going to at least be in the rotation. But not playing in those two games, he could have either just said, okay, well, I'm just not an NBA player, and then cratered, or he could have just come back and said, okay, I need to step up. And to his credit, he's done that. He's looked like a completely different player since the two-game benching.
Yeah, and I think that Nico gets credit for that. I don't know that Fred Hoiberg needs a ton of credit for that, but he did do it.
It worked.
You know what I mean? It worked. He did something, and it appears to be working. Fred deserves credit for that. And like you said, it's a little bit of a risk because he could have cratered a guy who's admitted that, you know, he's hard on himself a lot of the time. So to do that, you know it can go one of two ways, and it's going the better way for the Bulls, who still haven't played high quality basketball here by any means for long stretches. This game, this win came after they'd lost 6-7 and looked pretty poor at times in that stretch, which we've talked a little bit about. But this Nico thing, I think, is a big deal. I think these adjustments from Fred Hoiberg are a big deal because he is relying on Nico quite a bit. I mean, he played him 30 minutes in this game. I think on Christmas Day he played him 32, 33 minutes in the loss to the Spurs, who are just an excellent basketball team. There's no shame in losing in San Antonio. But the Bulls felt like they should have been in it a little more than they were in a 19-point loss.
They were leading at one point in the third quarter, and then the Spurs closed the quarter on a 20-4 run, I think, to end that quarter.
Yeah, something like that. So they just didn't think they were quite competitive enough. But Hoiberg's showing some adjustments here, because the other big one, a small one I should say, is playing Dwayne Wade the entire fourth quarter. I believe this is the first time all year he played an entire quarter off the top of my head. I'd have to verify and check that. But that was a change, and the Bulls went with that because Dwayne Wade said he felt good. And they both realized that the Bulls needed to rely on Dwayne Wade down the stretch because Jimmy Butler is expending so much energy guarding Paul George that he wasn't really efficient on this night. And it was more of a two-man basketball game with Dwayne Wade and Nico Mirotic and a lot of pick and rolls and some of those actions. So they felt they needed Dwayne Wade. So good small move there by Fred. I don't think playing Dwayne Wade for the final 13 minutes of every game is a solution this year because he'll get tired. But when they need it on this night, stepped up, and it worked.
It's worth pointing out also that that Wade has looked awful this season on back-to-backs.
Yes, he has. He's been averaging like 12 points a game on 30% shooting on the second nights, I think.
30.2% shooting on the second night of a back-to-back. He's played in four second halves of back-to-backs this season. It's just you can just tell his legs are gone. He powered through it tonight. Obviously, he had that big 21 points. He had that big play at the end. The very end of the game when Aaron Brooks tried to throw a pass to Kevin Serafin, got picked off, dunked it.
That was his signature moment as a Bull, I think. I wrote that at 670score.com. It's either that or the time he threw up the wild three-pointer to beat the Celtics on opening night, but that was more of a sealing or clinching shot.
For those wondering, Aaron Brooks did not get a tribute video, and neither did Kevin Serafin, who was drafted by the Bulls in 2010.
And thus concludes your video tribute update.
We're going to keep doing these. We're going to keep doing these.
But
George Niang also did not play, did not get a tribute video, even though Fred Hoiberg coached him in college at Iowa State.
I have a beloved relationship. They have a deep, strong bond.
Ames that Mafia
defined the entire Fred Hoiberg era at Iowa State. That type of basketball has not been seen in Chicago with the Bulls whatsoever. But back to that Dwayne Wade play, I did think he stole the ball and then he ran into the corner. There were like 2 seconds left and he could have dribbled out the clock. They were up three with like 2-3 seconds left. Dwayne Wade had the ball in the corner and there were a couple Pacers kind of running toward the hoop and he could have held the ball and just won. But he made a beeline for that rim and put down a pretty authoritative dunk.
Long enough that he maybe could have gotten a taunting technical, but he didn't, just like LeBron didn't. Yeah, did you watch the Cavs-Warriors game yesterday?
I didn't watch all of it, but I did watch the fourth quarter, which was the most important part. And I don't think the NBA will be releasing a last two-minute report that says Dwayne Wade should have a technical for hanging on the rim, but it's in the realm of possibility.
It's such a dumb. Like, I mean, I'm glad LeBron didn't get called for a technical on that play, and I think it was dumb that Richard Jefferson did get called for one.
Yes, so here's a shout-out I'd like to make our Locked On Bulls.
We're big on shout-outs here.
Better basketball fans.
We're big on shout-outs.
When cool things happen, don't complain about the officiating and there being a double standard for something that was called, like, 5 minutes earlier. I don't care if Richard Jefferson was called for a technical foul. I don't care if 8 Warriors were called for a technical foul for doing chin-ups. LeBron just threw home a dunk that's going to beat the Warriors, their biggest rival, on Christmas Day in one of the best regular season basketball games you've ever seen, and you want to complain that he did a chin-up on the rim. Get out of here.
I saw some people on Twitter today, not even like people I follow, but just like people being retweeted by just like major NBA writers basically saying, LeBron didn't get a technical. This is why you can't watch the NBA. Like, this is why I can't take the NBA seriously. It's like pro wrestling. It's like, okay, whatever. Whatever
you say. There's so many fallacies with that argument that can't even really begin.
But yeah,
to address, but just let the fun be fun.
That game was awesome. The Bulls game against the Spurs was not so awesome. You know what? The Bulls' next home game will be against the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday. And if you want to get tickets to that game, you know where you should go. You should go to SeatGeek.
You can check out SeatGeek for the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to the basketball games and other sporting events you want to see up close and in person. There's nothing like being in the stadium and the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want at a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, with a few taps. Instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because it price compares by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is giving a great score based on value. You'll immediately see underpriced seats, be able to find the best deals to fit your budget in the sections you like, the sections you don't want to sit, upper bowl, lower bowl, wherever in the arena. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is 100% guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. So here's what our Locked On Bulls listeners need to do. You get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code and enter L-O Bulls, just how it sounds, L-O Bulls, and SeatGeek will send you $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code L-O Bulls today. The other massive storyline from this Bulls win over the Pacers, which might be the most important storyline of the game, and perhaps if we look ahead, if there's any sort of revitalization and continued consistent play from the Bulls for longer stretches, the benching of Rajon Rondo for the entire fourth quarter.
Well, wait, hold on. We haven't talked about the most important thing that happened in this game, which was the return of Michael Carter-Williams.
Well, no, it's the benching of Rajon Rondo is more important than that.
But, I mean, MCW's been out for 7 weeks. I mean, the
MCW's like an eighth man. They just benched their $14 million point guard, who had epitomized their fourth quarter struggles, and then they scored 27 points in the fourth quarter and got the job done and put Jaren Grant in, mainly. Not Michael Carter-Williams. Jaren
Grant. MCW was out there at the end.
Jaren Grant played almost 11 fourth quarter minutes. MCW played like 5 fourth quarter minutes and was the defensive replacement. The biggest thing here, this is big.
Okay.
Rajon Rondo is a guy who can be a powder keg in a locker room, or he can be a great influence. For the most part, he's been a great influence on the Bulls this year, I feel like. Save for the time, as Joe Calley of the Sun-Times would say, he misplaced a towel around a coach. He's been a pretty good presence.
Shout out to Joe Calley, by the way.
Rondo didn't talk to reporters afterward. We were busy talking to Dwayne Wade, Nico Mirotic, and the like. But he did go around the locker room. He kind of, I wouldn't say interrupted, but kind of gave Nico a fist bump while he was surrounded by reporters. He went around giving guys high fives. So, like, his attitude after this win was correct, but again, he's their starting point guard. He's blown up before and had problems with coaches, and he just got benched for an entire game, and they won. And the comments came a day after John Paxson, executive vice president of the Bulls, said on 670 The Score Radio that we're going to have to at some point maybe give these younger guys more opportunities. Is that maybe a glimpse into what that meant, playing Jaren Grant over Rajon Rondo? Did Paxson in the front office give Hoiberg the confidence, leeway to be like, bench that guy, I don't care if we're paying him $14 million a year? Look, Rondo's been good for some stretches for the Bulls, but for the most part, he's been inconsistent, and that really is magnified in the fourth quarter with their offensive struggles, and they just benched him. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I think it's a kind of thing, you know, as with anything like this that's maybe a controversial decision, as long as they're winning, it'll be fine. If they start benching him and then they lose some games, I can maybe see him getting a little bit more upset over it. But you know,
that's an excellent point.
He's got his money. If he's gonna, it's not about that for him. If he gets benched and then,
I'm not buying that because he's such a prideful individual. I mean, he loves the game. He loves being the distributor, kind of the focal point of a basketball game, I think. And I mean, it's like, I trace back to the Joakim Noah thing last year a little bit as a slight parallel, where like Joakim Noah didn't have a huge problem coming off the bench.
He didn't,
but he won't for a second admit that's what he wanted to do, and like he'd do what's best for the team, but he didn't volunteer when Hoiberg claimed he did and stuff. Like, there's pride in those older guys there, especially guys who have been proven winners for the most part.
Right, and, you know, I think at this point, especially, you know, if the Bulls want to stay in this playoff hunt, and by the way, in the standings, they're now in a three-way tie with the Hawks and the Bucks for being in the playoffs.
Sounds wild. Sounds like we got to start looking up three-way tiebreakers in, like,
mid-January. Well, hey, you know what? Well, you know what? If the Bulls the Bulls play the Pacers again for the fourth time in Indy on Friday, if they win that game, then the season series will be 3-1, and that means that if they finish with the same record, the Bulls will have the tiebreaker.
That is a big deal. It's an excellent
point. It's a little early to be talking about that, but that stuff matters.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was, I think, you know, if the Bulls want to stay in this playoff race at this point, you know, they're gonna have to just start doing what's best for the team, whether it's gonna offend some of the veterans or not. You know, if, like, you know, we were saying earlier, you know, people on Twitter have suggested, people have written that the Bulls should just bench Rondo and stop playing him in the fourth quarter, and we've kind of pushed back at that and said, you know, politically, you know, even though maybe that might be the best basketball move politically, that just kind of wouldn't work. At this point, the Bulls came into this night 2 games under .500. They don't really have a lot of room to just make political decisions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was trending the wrong direction. I mean, the last Lockdown Bulls we did before kind of the break for Christmas, I mean, I went pretty hard on Fred Hoiberg saying, like, here's what you have at your disposal, and you're using a player who's not helping weaponize your offense and make it better in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. Like, at no point, like, I don't think Jaren Grant should start over Rajon Rondo at any point in the foreseeable future whatsoever. I don't think Michael Carter-Williams should, like, he should still be starting, but when it's matchup-based and you get to that fourth quarter and defenses lock in and force him to be a shooter and you don't have a lot of other shooting on the court, like, you have to make an adjustment. So don't play him in the fourth quarter if that's what it takes. And it should be noted, Hoiberg cited this as a flow-of-the-game decision was his reasoning.
Right, that which is about as close as he's ever going to get to admitting that he benched Rondo for the fourth quarter because Rondo wasn't a good, like, he's never going to come out and just say that. He's gonna put it in terms like it was just the flow of the game. You know what I kind of liked to it? I just thought of this.
What?
A few years ago, one of those last couple of Thibodeau teams, you know, you look at a guy like Carlos Boozer, and I don't want to compare Rondo to Carlos Boozer so much, but he never played in the fourth quarter.
That's true. That's
when he was point. The last couple of years that he was here in Chicago, but, you know, he was still the starter. So, you know, as a veteran, he still got to have that point of pride, like, I'm the starter. I'm gonna play a reasonable amount of minutes and be involved in the offense. But, you know, other guy, you know, Taj Gibson was the better option, and so Thibodeau would play him in the fourth quarter. You know, if Michael Carter-Williams keeps playing well defensively, if Jaren Grant keeps showing some stuff, you know, at a certain point, it might get to that point with Rondo where, yeah, Rondo's going to start, Rondo's going to get them into the flow of the offense, but then in the fourth quarter when you need defense and you need someone if you need defense, you put in MCW, who actually still plays defense,
more
Rondo
shooting,
doesn't. If you need more shooting, you put in Grant, but it's on those two guys also to play consistently enough to justify a move like that would be controversial.
There will certainly be times where Rondo closes games moving forward. He might close the game on Wednesday against the Nets, and I have no problem with that if the game dictates that and it's going in that flow. Like, if he's a guy that's got 12 assists and is creating that offense, you know, like, ride it. But when teams are just taking advantage of him, you have to make a move, and Hoiberg did a good job to make that adjustment. Now, let's get to your Michael Carter-Williams big storyline, which I agree. Very big storyline. I just think it's number two tonight after the benching of Rondo, given everything that comes with Rondo and how bad the Bulls' fourth quarter offense have been. But Michael Carter-Williams, 19 minutes. First action after missing 27 games with a left wrist injury. Had a bone chip in there. He said the wrist felt great. He scored 1 point. He was 0 of 5 from the field. What'd you think, Sean?
I mean, I mean, you could definitely see, obviously, the shooting, the 0 of 5 shooting is not great. But he's never going to give
really
you...
That's really bad.
It's not good. But he's never going to give you shooting anyway. But, like, I just thought, you know, just his energy on the defensive end, like, you can't be overstated. You know, he comes in immediately after he comes in. He dives for a loose ball, basically saves a possession for the Bulls. That's just an energy and an effort level that... You know, and I'm not trying to just keep throwing shade at Rondo here, but, you know, MCW, maybe part of this is because he's still on his rookie contract and he has something to prove in the league still. He has something to play for. He's going to, you know, he was picking up Jeff Teague full court right away.
That was my favorite. My favorite part might have been how the Bulls crowd, the United Center, was just dead, like dead silent for most of the time. And then Michael Carter-Williams comes in, and, like, the first cheer of the game is not Michael Carter Williams guarding Teague full court, but he did that and like helped get the play going in wild fashion or whatever, and the ball flew away, and then he saved the ball from going out of bounds, and then the crowd went nuts because it led to a runout. Like, that was the first time all game they'd like started yelling, and it was the return of Michael Carter diving on the floor. And Fred Hoiberg cited him just being a versatile defender. Dwayne Wade cited how well Michael Carter Williams closed out on shooters. They had him on the floor on the final Pacers possession when the Pacers were going for the tying three-point shot.
And he was the one that was closing out on Serafin, who Brooks threw the ball to.
Yes. There was a lot of craziness going on over there. Michael Carter Williams helped create that. And, I mean, he is... Jimmy Butler's a better defender. Michael Carter Williams probably has more of an opportunity in the condensed shorter minutes he plays to just be a menace on defense. You know what I mean? Like, run around, deflect passes, get up on him 94 feet. You can't ask Jimmy to dog someone for 94 feet.
Well, right.
Like,
well, right.
You
since
can
MC-
tell that.
Well,
you
right. But since that. MCW isn't a scorer, you can ask him to do that without him burning out at the other end or without worrying about it, because he's not the guy who needs to be featured a lot in the offense. He's going to more have the ball in his hands and make plays for other people. He's not a shooter, so that's kind of what his role is going to be.
And I thought the Pacers made a key mistake. The Bulls had a two-point lead with, like, I don't know, 90 seconds left, or maybe it was 2 minutes left, but they ran out, maybe 3 minutes, but they ran out at Michael Carter Williams on a closeout, and he joked after the game, they ran out at me like I was Kyle Korver, which he said confused him. Like, two Pacers went out there, and he kind of weaved his way, beat him off the dribble, and found Taj for an open jumper. So, like, that's what he needs to do. I know he can't shoot, but, like, just a small mistake by a defense not following the scouting report. Michael Carter Williams still has the ball handling ability, the athleticism, and the passing ability to bring something to that offense that's important. And he did that on that play. And Fred basically said before the game, we don't expect him to be a hero or a difference maker, and he wasn't. But, like, he helped the Bulls out. We should also note Doug McDermott was out for this game with a shin injury, which the Bulls are calling him game-to-game, basically.
I saw him in the locker room before the game. He said he was fine. So
he'll play Wednesday, probably.
You would think. I mean, I don't want to be out here saying for sure he'll play, but he joked to me that it's going to take him out of the dunk contest.
Oh, no.
Which...
I'm saying. He had a big dunk against the Spurs on Sunday, on Christmas Day. But
that's just kind of a running thing that Doug and I have, because he's had so many high-profile missed dunks.
Yes, that's true. He's had some big ones, some missed ones, and he can definitely get up. But I do think the Bulls, that rotation, they want it to be Nico and Doug off the bench and then followed by Michael Carter-Williams there shortly after, and probably at this point Felicio staying in there.
I want to see more. There was this lineup that Fred ran in the first three games of the season before MCW got hurt, this bench unit that they ran in like the second quarter of the first couple games of the year that I thought was pretty effective, which was MCW, Wade, Doug, Nico, and Felicio. Yeah, that gives you... It gives you...
And that's the thing. Like, Wade said this after the game, like, he can play, Dwayne Wade can play point guard a little bit if he needs to, even when Michael Carter Williams is out there, and like initiate the offense, you know what I mean? And let him be that more that defensive guy, and offensively he's not going to spread the floor, but let him cut to the hoop, and
right.
Maybe Nico and Doug spread it a little more.
Yeah. But just having him back out there just gives the Bulls another option, gives him another look, because he gives him a skill set that nobody else on the team has.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And look, he's not a great basketball player, but he's a professional basketball player who is helpful for a Bulls team that didn't have enough professionals coming off the bench and playing at a high level. So, all in all, a good night for the Bulls, because got Michael Carter-Williams back. Nico Maritic showed some more consistency. Dwayne Wade showed a little flash of the old ages. And they got a win that they really needed. Got the Nets on Wednesday.
They should win.
Big game at Indiana on Friday, like you said, for even big picture, tiebreaker purposes, playoff purposes. So we'll keep following along. I think we'll have a podcast on Tuesday reflecting on some bigger picture stuff.
We haven't, because we haven't really touched on John Paxson's comments on the radio yesterday, which, by the way, those comments came on 670 The Score.
670thescore.com is where you can find my work and hear that interview as well.
But we're going to talk, we're going to get, there's a lot to get into with those comments, so we're going to get into that, I think, in an episode tomorrow.
Yes, we will. He addressed a lot of things. But we'll keep an eye on that for you. Come back. With that, the Bulls are off from practice Tuesday after the back-to-back. So that'll be good timing. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can follow Sean at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlund. We have a Locked On Bulls Facebook page. If that's how you like to navigate to your podcast, send us questions. We'll take a few of those on the off days. You can email us questions too at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Send us any advertising inquiries there as well. Most of all, please do subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can go on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams. The NFL playoffs are coming up, so you're going to want to make sure you're checking those podcasts out. And we will be back with you tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.